Welcome to EconoDay's Economist Roundtable. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. Jeremy Hawkins covers the UK, India, and Europe, and Mark Pender covers the US. So as we speak, we are vigiling the FOMC, the banks of Japan and England, and the Swiss National Bank's monetary policy decisions. However, looming above those meetings is the Brexit vote next week. The flight to safe havens is very much in evidence in the financial markets, with equities and bond yields sinking. One of the things that I've been wondering about is whether there will be any sort of coordinated action by the central banks once the results are known. Jeremy, you live in the UK. Why don't you start?
Lucky me. Yes, thanks, Anne. Well, I mean, the volatility we've been talking about, the result of this Brexit for some while now, really is starting to hit new highs. Key to that, of course, has been the recent trends in the opinion polls. It's only what a couple of weeks or so ago, I think, we're talking about the underlying movement in the trends in the polls, which, although they've been always been quite close and it's always been a very tight result, there was a definite movement in favour of those wanting to remain as part of the European Union. However, particularly over the last week, we've seen, perhaps significant, remains to be seen, but some kind of sizable move anyway in favour of those wanting to leave the European Union. And as you mentioned, that's starting to have, pretty sizable impacts, not just upon UK financial markets, but certainly encouraging the trends which were perhaps already in place in global markets as well. Now, as far as this Brexit polls goes at the moment, I mean, we can spend all day talking about those, but just quickly to highlight something which has got the markets really agitated. One of the major polls published in the Times over here, so one of the major newspapers last week, was suggesting that the Remain camp had a 1 percentage point lead, which, okay, was tight, but kind of within the sort of range we've seen for some considerable while now. Those same pollsters now are suggesting that those wanting to exit the European Union have a lead of 7 percentage points. So that's an 8 percentage move over the course of the last week. At the same time, other supplementary polls have all tended to move, at least if not given the same result, in the same kind of direction. So just in terms of what the money markets are discounting now, the fresh wobbles we've had in the pound, clearly there is that much more perceived risk that come Thursday week, we will see a vote to actually come out of this European Union. What does it mean for monetary policy? Well, if we believe what Mark Carney, the Bank of England governor, was saying a week or so ago, he was suggesting that despite the talk that we could see a UK recession being prompted by any such vote, it wouldn't necessarily be the case that we'd have to see a cut in UK interest rates. And I think if UK rates don't come down, chances are the other major central banks can continue to do their own thing, whatever that might be. For the UK, it's really a case, I think, of what happens to sterling. If we do see a vote to pull out of the EU next week, we see the pound come off. Implicit within that will be a loosening of monetary policy. And I think the bank's going to want to stand back. It'll certainly add liquidity to try and quieten down the financial markets. But it's going to want to see what happens. The danger with all this little lot is, of course, we get a big knee-jerk reaction when there's panic move. But then as people start to allow the dust to settle and start to really reflect upon perhaps some of the longer-term implications, it may perhaps not turn out to be quite so bad. But in a nutshell, I think, yes, Brexit is clearly a dominating factor at the moment, but I don't personally think we'll see a vote for to leave the European Union triggering a wholesale cut in interest rates in its own right.
Thanks, Jeremy. Mark, we have the Fed and we are vigiling the results there. Is there going to be any surprise?
I actually, before I start on the Fed, I had one question for Jeremy. Volatility in the financial markets. There must be large stakes at play right now in the markets. Is there anything visible in Europe right now in that regard?
Well, certainly, I mean, in terms of the major plays, I suppose, we've seen of late, it's been this wholesale move going into the safe haven assets. And that's particularly true of the gilt edge market over here, where we've seen yields moving towards record lows. Equally true, of course, coming out of continental Europe, where we saw the 10-year bund, the benchmark bond yield there, moving into negative territory today for the first time. So at this stage, I think the main plays are, well, certainly the neutral plays just taking the view that if it does happen, what's the way around it? It's just to play safe. And so you go into the sovereign debt market. symbolize. Equity markets until really quite recently in the UK hadn't responded that much, but we certainly see an awful lot more volatility going through there now. In terms of sterling, I think, yes, the market's starting to move short, but you know, we've seen sterling euro, which is kind of the benchmark cross rate, which people try to judge the underlying value of the pound here. That's come down from, what, about 144 to around 125 since its peak last November. So to some extent, I think, a vote to leave the European Union is already discounted. Now, I think there will be some shorts out there, but I don't think, to be honest, the market is really that short at this particular stage. The big issue, of course, is if we do get a no vote, no one really knows what that ultimately means.
And that ultimately, you don't know if it ultimately will mean a sell-off in sterling. It could be, like you're saying, a reverse reaction.
I think the initial reaction would just be, oh my God, what's going to happen sort of thing. And we will see the pound come off. Whether it stays down for a matter of days or it's just a case of, within a month or so, we're back up to where we were or even higher. That, I think, is anybody's guess. But if we do see a no vote, I'd be very surprised if we don't see the pound being sold off to the benefit of, in particular, the dollar. Because the UK leaving the European Union isn't good news for the European Union, but also flows then going into the likes of the Swiss franc and also probably on a regional basis for Japanese yen as well.
Yeah, well, the Brexit is certainly going to be an issue at this week's FOMC. No action is expected, and that is a contributing factor. The main factor is weakness in economic growth. Though this morning we got really very interesting numbers. We had a solid retail sales report that followed a very strong report in April. So that's 2 months now. The second quarter is looking very good, and it's boosted by really the labor market. Demand for labor is strong, and it's offsetting a weakness in the factory sector, weakness tied to exports, weakness tied to business investment. The markets here are just waiting for really the FOMC this week, the statement, but especially Brexit. I think that's probably it from here.
Okay. And one of the other central banks that will be a focus this week is the Bank of Japan. As if the BOJ didn't have enough to worry about domestically, now there are concerns about the impact of Brexit on Japan. Japan is one of the safe havens other than the Swiss franc. The Bank of Japan is holding a meeting of its interest rate policy setting board on Wednesday and Thursday to discuss how they are going to get their CPI projection back on track. With the economy stuck in low gear, with alternating between gains and losses in growth, the bank's price stability target of 2% consumer price index still looks far off. But BOJ officials remain cautious about further monetary relaxation, and hurdles to further monetary easing are growing higher, as banks and others voice discontent, to put it mildly, with negative interest rates, which were reintroduced by the BOJ. They introduced negative rates in February in an effort to get banks to lend more and to get the economy moving. But prices have remained slack. Consumer price index, excluding volatile prices of perishable foods, it declined in April for a second consecutive month. Even excluding the effects of lower crude prices, the index still has fallen further from the 2% target. Nevertheless, the central bank remains cautious about further monetary easing due to the financial sector's complaints about negative rates. Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, for example, has said it will cease acting as the primary dealer of Japanese government bonds. Even if rates are lowered further from the current -0.1%, there's no guarantee that the move will make any difference. And with the UK referendum just a week away, the bank may be reluctant to take action before the outcome is known. Any other comments?
Yeah, I'll just offer one quick one, just looking at this sort of level of interest rates and how central banks, it seems, if going to have more and more problems actually trying to implement monetary policy. And I sort of really just mentioned Germany. There was some talk coming out last week, or say last week, it's been doing the rounds for a little while now, and that's looking at the German banking system, which has been complaining bitterly about the level of official interest rates from the ECB, in particular the deposit rate. So that, if people remember, stands at minus 0.4% at the moment, i.e. the banks themselves have to pay 40 basis points in order to keep any excess reserves at the ECB. So there's been talk now from some banks that perhaps they're going to start, rather than placing those reserves at the central bank, then start holding it as vault cash. So cash, actual cash in vaults elsewhere. And that then, of course, starts raising the question of what is ultimately the lower bound to interest rates. You know, 0.4%, well, some people, minus 0.4% is the ECB's rate. Some people have suggested that round about 50 basis points or so would be the cost of insuring vault cash and actually storing it there in the first place. So you kind of wonder if perhaps this, you know, we're now getting towards the kind of levels at which even further cuts in interest rates, you know, deposit rates, whatever they might be, simply won't have any effect anymore.
Well, I quite agree with you, Jeremy, because judging by the reaction in Japan, where previously everyone seemed to accept that in a positive way the moves by the BOJ, they're absolutely rebelling. The yen has risen and it was supposed to fall. Banks are just rebelling against the negative rates. So I think there is a floor, but what it is, I'm not sure.
Interesting and very uncertain times.
Hopefully it'll be the U.S. You know, the U.S. economy is still growing and interest rates are still, you know, modest but solidly positive compared to other places. So maybe this is just a close landing.
Thanks all. To be continued next week.